You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you have your radio tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that you do know what is best for us. We know that you are a God of love, a God of compassion, and a God of mercy. And we're so thankful today that we have the privilege of being a servant of thine. We're also thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast, will make it a blessing to each one. If there be those in our congregation who do not know thee, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to thee, because we know you love them and you want to save them. If there be those that are passing through deep waters and trials and tests at this time, we pray that you'll encourage your children, that they'll be encouraged to press the battle on, to fight the good fight of faith, that they might be able to hear the Master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So bless this broadcast and bless it to our congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you, and it's always an encouragement to us to hear from you. And we will be giving you our mailing address at the close of our broadcast today. It would be a delight to us if you'd take time to write and let us know that you hear our broadcast. Also, we invite you to visit our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our broadcasts at your convenience. You can also find a number of issues of the Way of Truth magazine on our webpage. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds mine. step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know He holds my hand.
Our thoughts for this broadcast is entitled Correction. I'll read two passages of Scripture. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the second verse of Scripture is taken out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, and verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Now the word correct means to make right, change from wrong to right, to make an adjustment. Correction means a correcting are being corrected, a change that corrects a mistake, to correct faults, according to Webster's dictionary. And according to the first verse of Scripture that I read today from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul tells us that one of the reasons why the Scriptures are given is for correction. In fact, there are three different, he mentions four things here, and three of them have a bearing on the same thing: for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and reproof. So there is the place in the Christian life for correction. Why is correction so difficult to take? Why is it that correction is so difficult to take? Well, we don't like to admit that we are wrong or that we're lacking in some way. And so we don't always find it to be pleasant or desirable. But why is it so important? And it is important. I remember years ago when they were experimenting with space vehicles before they actually sent men to the moon, They sent some vehicles up, space vehicles, that circled around the moon and came back without landing. And I remember hearing on the news in one particular shot they had made that it was just a little off course. And after it was out there thousands of miles from Earth and yet thousands of miles from the moon, they sent a message to correct it. Because if it had gone on the way it was going, with the thousands of miles yet to travel, it would have gotten quite a bit off of the course that it was supposed to take. The further it went, the further off course it would get. And so they sent a message of correction. So the purpose of correcting is to change course from what would be wrong to what would be right. So correction is something that is very important. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Now notice this. This is the word of God, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now look at the latter part of that verse of Scripture. It speaks about a father correcting his son in whom he delights. And why does he correct him? Because he loves his son, and he wants his son to do what is right. You hear some people talking about, well, I love my child too much to correct him or to punish him, but that's not true love. True love would cause a person to do what they can to correct a situation. And so Proverbs 3:12 tells us, for whom the Lord loveth. Now I know God loves us, and surely no one can question that. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We also read in the Scriptures, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Now, I don't know whether we always take it that way or not, but this is what we read in the book of Job. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. So it is important for our own sake and for the sake of others that we be corrected. And remember, the Lord does love us enough to correct us. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Now, people can be quite sensitive, many times too sensitive. They wear their feelings on their shoulder, as the saying is. People can be quite sensitive. And when corrected, we often attach motives to the one giving it, and we may feel their motive is not really for our good. We can get the wrong impression, and we can judge the person wrongly as well. We may want to put up a defense, but that's not the way to be corrected. Every one of us needs to grow in our Christian experience, especially in character. And being corrected is one way that we can grow. And if we will look at it from that standpoint of growing, of increasing in our Christian experience, and gaining in our character, if we will look at it in that way, then we can see better the benefit of being corrected. When left to ourselves, we don't often see the need to make real and lasting changes. No, out of the heart of love someone else may have for us, they will point out some lack in our life, somewhere we need to be corrected. And so it's good for us to be corrected, and we don't always see our own faults. We don't always see our own mistakes. When we're left to ourselves, I say, we don't often see the need to make real and lasting changes. Therefore, we need some friends that love us enough to correct us. Correction can make the difference between success and failure, professionally, socially, and spiritually. Yes, you'll find the need of correction out there in the professional world, out there in the business world. You don't know everything, and don't take the attitude that you do. So there will be need of correction. And without this correction, you may make shipwreck corrections can make the difference between success and failure, I say, professionally, socially, and the same thing is true spiritually. Correction can be hard to take and at times hard to give. Yes, it's not always easy. Someone who loves you, someone who appreciates you, they don't want to offend you. They don't want to hurt you. So it's not only hard sometimes to take correction, but it's hard sometimes to give it. But nevertheless, it is for our good to make right, change from wrong to right, to make an adjustment, correction. A correction or being corrected. A change that corrects a mistake to correct faults. And so corrections are, in the bottom line, they're good for us, even though we may find it a little hard to take it at times. Now, relationships have been destroyed by the lack of tact and wisdom when either giving or receiving correction. And I do want to emphasize this point because someone who comes to you with a haughty, better-than-thou attitude, I'm up here and you're down there, to try to correct you, is not coming with the right motive, they're not coming with the right purpose, and they're not coming with a real love and concern for your soul. So relationships have been destroyed by the lack of tact and wisdom when either given or received. We may have no control over how correction is delivered, but we can choose how to take it. Yes, we may not have any control over how a person comes to correct us, but we can control how we choose to take it. And if it is really and truly for our good, we need to take it in the right spirit and in the right attitude. Sometimes we allow our feelings to get hurt when they really shouldn't be. Someone is telling us that something about us is wrong. We take it as a personal affront, and it cuts to the core. And sometimes we become embarrassed. And let me say in regard to that, there are times and there are places where correction should be given. And there are times and there are places when it should not be given. Where it is possible, correction should be given privately and not in front of other people. To try to correct somebody in front of others is indeed to run the risk of embarrassing them and of offending them. So as important as correction is, it is also important to make sure that it is done at the right time, at the right place, and under the right circumstances. When correction is needed and given in love, we should not give place to self-pity and hurt feelings and shrink from positive actions. We should not feel like, well, you know, I can't do anything right. Everything I do is wrong. I'm just a failure. You know, with that kind of an attitude, doubtless correction will not be made, and you'll not receive the help that you have. A person who comes to you in a spirit of love and concern for you and see a lack in your life, and they want to help you, is not doing it to make you feel like you're a failure. And sometimes, you know, We point out people's faults and failures without pointing out their good points. But that has its place also. Now, our subject today is correction, not complimenting. But there is a place for compliments. I know as parents sometimes we fail to compliment our children for doing what is right. We only point out to them their wrongs. And that's going to end up being injurious to the child and possibly make them have an inferior attitude or feeling about themselves. So though the subject may not be complimenting today, it is correction, yet there is that place for complimenting. As you read the letters that Christ dictated to John to send to the seven congregations in Asia Minor, you'll find that in the first six letters, Jesus Christ pointed out their good points. He complimented them, if I can use that word, in regard to their good points, and he did that first. He did that before he said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you." And then he pointed out to them what he had against them. But remember, he complimented them first, and that has its place. So we don't want to make someone feel like, well, I'm a failure and I can't do anything right. No. Point out their good points, and then point out the place where they're lacking and where you can help them. We should not allow pride to cause us to assume we are being falsely accused and go on our own selfish way. We will never be corrected. We'll never receive the benefit of the correction if we take that kind of an attitude. I remember reading about the captain of the Titanic when he was informed by another ship that was some distance away of the icebergs that were in the area. And this other ship was warning him to be careful. But, according to what I read, the captain paid no attention to the warning that was given him. You know, it was said whenever a passenger was boarding this ship in England that they had heard that the ship could not be sunk. This is an unsinkable ship. And the worker, the one on the ship, supposedly said, "Ma'am, this ship, God couldn't sink it." And so on its maiden voyage, it struck the iceberg. And as you know, its side was ripped and it was sunk with hundreds of lives lost. Whereas if the captain would have taken warning that was given him and avoided those icebergs, he and the ship and all of his passengers could have landed safely in New York. And so let us not allow pride to keep us from receiving the instruction that is correctly given to us. Now, do not go talk to others about how you were wronged. No. When you really needed to be corrected, don't go off telling somebody how terrible you were treated, how wrong you were treated. You may influence them against the one who has sincerely tried to help you. To the contrary, take the correction. Again, do not allow pride to keep you from taking the correction. And remember, the Word of God teaches us that the Lord chastens every son whom he receiveth. And when we read there about the Lord chastening, it simply means that he corrects us. And he said, if we be without chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons. So God corrects every one of his children. And sometimes he may do it through his word, through his spirit, or he may do it through another child of God. Now, what is the right course? Well, I've already endeavored to point out some, but try to listen with your mind, not with your emotions. Yes, try to listen with your mind. Be honest with yourself and do not be governed necessarily by your emotions. Consider what is being said. What are the facts in regard to the matter? Consider. Take what is said and consider it. And if you indeed need the correction, then set about to do what is to be done to correct the situation. Consider your own motives. Yes, consider your own motives. Do you want to become a better person, a better Christian? If so, then take the correction. Remember again, God chastens every son whom he receiveth, and he corrects them because he loves them. And if we take the correction in the right spirit and in the right attitude and set about to correct the situation, then it will work the peaceable fruits of righteousness, the Bible says. Do I have the character to admit that I am wrong? Do not take the attitude, I'm always right, because no one is always right. So do I have the character to admit I am wrong? Try to see it as an opportunity to grow. There is always room to grow. Every one of us have room to grow. Look for ways to improve your own experience. Examine yourselves, the Bible says, to see whether you be in the faith or not. And be humble enough to make the right change when it is called for. Not everything we face in life is easy. Not everything in the Christian life is easy. As we journey along the highway of holiness, there will be some things that will need to be corrected. Remember, corrections are for our good, correcting that which is wrong. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. We trust that what has been said will be a blessing and a benefit to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that what has been said has proven to be a blessing to you. If our broadcast service is a blessing, why not take time to write and let us know? It would indeed be an encouragement to us. And while writing, if you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, I trust that you'll feel free to send it in. Now, our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast and bidding God's blessings on you.
You may have your worldly pleasures, your silver and your gold. You may pile up all the riches that this whole world can hold. But I'd rather have my Savior and with Him firmly stand. For I want to be ready to meet Him in the glory land. I want to be ready to meet Him by and by. I want to be ready to meet Him in the sky. Oh, I want to be more like Him and do His blessed command. For I want to be ready to meet Him in the glory. You may talk about your riches, your diamonds and your pearls. You may gain the wealth for ages of this and all the world. But the Savior is more precious. With Him I'll take my stand. For I want to be ready to meet Him in the glory land. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to meet Him in the sky. Oh, I want to be more like Him and do His blessed command. For I want to be ready to meet Him in the glory land.
There is one thing I can boast of, salvation from